today. Amen. That's good. It's good to see all y'all. And we just want to welcome you guys back here to church for the first time. If there's any our first-time visitors, welcome to Simple Faith Baptist Church, where the Bible changes us. We do not change the Bible. We're right here in the heart of the barrio, so sometimes we're called the Barrio Baptist Church. But nevertheless, it is good to be here. So we're just going to do some quick announcements because we just want to avail ourselves to the hearing and the preaching of the Word of God through a very good friend. And so we're just going to quickly go over these. So we just want to remind our church members in-house, I know that y'all have a Memorial Day picnic, and it was a blessing that your pastor was so gracious to invite us. This year, we're going to have a Memorial Day picnic, and it's going to be headed by one of our dear members. Amen. And so for the members in-house, please don't forget to let Sister Eileen know before you go today what you plan on bringing for tomorrow. And I'm going to be signing up for smoked chicken. I know, guys, I know you're going to miss that up there in Corona, but one of these days, we'll get you guys some of that good barbecue. Amen. So please let her know. We're going to try to be there tomorrow in Encinitas at the beach. I forgot what it's called again. Moonlight Beach. And so we're going to be trying to get there early. And you already know. So see Sister Joaquina for further details, in-house announcements. And then for those of you that are in-house, we have these study blogs. These are just some great articles that I like to publish to be an edification or a church, if you will, with my private devotional studies. Just consider this for visitors as vitamins, supplements to supplement your diet, which is your pastor's teaching, but please avail yourself. I'm just here to be a friend to you and to encourage you in your walk with the Lord up there. We have Facebook, we have podcasts, we have our YouTube that are live streaming right now, and so you guys can find those links if you just search on your YouTube, Simple Faith Baptist Church, today's recording. Amen. If y'all need any prayer, y'all can put any prayer requests anytime right here online. We want to be a church that prays. I'm pretty sure y'all heard it up there too, amen. A family that prays together. All right, y'all already know, amen. And so let's be a church about prayer. And let's not only pray for ourselves, but let's pray one for another. I find that the best, one of the remedies for me when I'm having an upset mood or spirit is turning my complaining into praying. I end up coming out a little happier because I put myself on the side, put someone else ahead of me. And so let's go ahead and continue to do that. And then giving opportunities for those that are in-house, y'all already know. Back there, we have the box. Y'all can Venmo. Y'all can, if you will, put that in your, do online giving as well through PayPal. You can give online anytime between you and the Lord. Just know the Lord's going to respond to you accordingly. And He, whatever you purpose on your heart, He will supply your needs so you can continue to abound in every good work. And so we want to just let the Lord know what that is between us and Him, and we want to let you guys take care of that between you and the Lord. And we want to also thank God for our visiting special guest pastor friend today. I don't have the link here, but on our video description, you can find the church ministry there, experiencegrace.com. Brother Shannon Scott, great friend, and before he comes up, I'll introduce him once again. But at this time, we're just going to go ahead and welcome up our musicians for the special, and then I'll come back, and then we'll have Pastor Scott come back up. Amen. So if we can get this, the musicians ready and the singers, and then there's two mics, so please avail yourself as you need. Okay.
As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee.
You're my friend, and you are my brother, even though you are a king.
I want you more than any other, so much more than anything. You alone are my strength. strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. I want you more than gold or silver, only you can satisfy. You alone are the real joy giver and the apple of my eye. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee.
All right.
All right, at this time, the youth can go ahead and be excused for the little church, if you will. So if any of the youth would like to join my wife and I, little Matthew, they're going to go next door into our library, and we have a youth, if you will, program during our main church service. And so with that said, before we call up Pastor Scott, I just want to thank God for the friendship, if you will. Kind of like what Brother Andrew was ministering to us through the Sunday school, there might be a plot from the enemy, but then there's a plan from God. And sometimes it comes through the brethren. Amen. We're a little carnal, a little fleshy. Like I told him the other night when we visited you guys on a Sunday night, that we had to go through the thorns and thistles to find the blossom, that flower. And I'm appreciative of your pastor's friendship to me. It couldn't have come in a greater time. And I find myself wondering, and if you will, in awe of how the Lord orchestrated our friendship through some unique circumstances, and yet we find ourselves supporting each other. And so I just want to thank God for Brother Scott being a friend to me, and I'm hoping that our church can get that same love that I also got that one night that we went back up to revisit him from Bible conference, which was back in January, and also some great friends that we met there as well. And so we need friends. And we need good friends. We need friends that are going to go through thick and thin with us. And I like how the Bible tells us in the last chapter of Acts 28, which your pastor will get there, right? He's going through Acts. Paul took courage because friends found him, and they traveled to see him. You can read that in Acts 28. And I thank God because I'm willing to travel to see friends. And I just want to thank God for your pastor. So with that said, we're just giving the floor. You can take as long as you need, brother, to let the Lord use you to minister to our church. And so, Pastor, would you come on up and bless us? And thank you so much again for coming down here.
There it goes. I'm so used to preaching without a microphone. I've done prison ministry for years, and you learn to be loud. Amen. So thank you very much. Grateful for technology, though, too. Amen. First Samuel chapter 20, First Samuel chapter number 20, and we'll begin there. Do want to talk to you a little bit this afternoon about this. I enjoyed Andrew's Bible lesson. I'd like to hear a little bit more of that. Amen. It was good. And I'm getting just a little bit of a feedback. You guys hearing it just a little bit kicking? Just a little bit kicking, a little bit of feedback. And so we'll cut it back just a smidgen. But 1 Samuel 20, if you'll find your place there. And we'll let you stand for just a moment. I'm going to have you stand for just a moment. We'll read the scriptures. 1 Samuel chapter number 20 and verse number 1. 1 Samuel 20 and verse number 1. Follow along as I read there. And David fled from Naoth in Ramah. He came and said before Jonathan, "What have I done? What is mine iniquity? And what is my sin before thy father, that he seeketh my life?" And he said unto him, "God forbid that thou shalt not die. Behold, my Father will do nothing either great or small, but that he will show it me. And why should my Father hide this thing from me? Notice what he says. It is not so. David swore, moreover, and said, thy Father certainly knoweth that I have found grace in thine eyes. And he saith, let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death. Father, thank you for the time that we have together this afternoon. We're already grateful for the singing that you have, Lord, let enter our heart and ears. We're mindful of each and every person that you've brought together today to help us. Help us to bring worship to you, to turn our hearts, our minds, our attention toward you. We're very grateful and thankful for Pastor Carlos and the people here at Simple Truth, and appreciate what they say, that we're not changed the Bible, but the Bible is to change us. And I pray that, Lord, you would help us to be people that have been changed by the precious Word of God. That we've been changed by your sweet Spirit, your Holy Spirit, to help us and to guide us unto all truth. And Lord, today as we once again enter into a look into your Word, that you would guide and direct us with what's said and done. May we set aside anything that would hinder us from hearing, and that we would give our time and attention, that we'd give our hearts to you and allow you to do what you choose to do today, that you'd have free course, that you'd have liberty and freedom to make the changes in our life that need to be done, and that when all things have been said and done, we can just bask and rejoice in the glory that is yours. And that, Lord, our motives today, help them to be pure, help them to be true. We realize that the fire will reveal, Lord, what our motives have been at judgment. And Lord, even now, help us to think along those lines, that one day we'll stand before you. And whoever hears the message today, I pray that you would use it in their life to draw them closer to you. And if someone here or listening is lost, they don't know Christ as their Savior, save before it's eternally too late. We love you and thank you for what you'll do. Teach us what you'd have us to know. Be our preacher today and bring glory to yourself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. It's a conflict that we find here that tested a friendship. And by the way, that happens certainly from time to time. Now, David is experiencing some things in life that are his. They belong with him. They belong to him. And there are some things that you will experience, some trials, some tribulations that will be very personal to you. And you may or may not let people in on what you're experiencing. You may not tell others about what you're going through, depending on who they are to you. What we see here is that David lets a friend in on it. David tells a friend what he is experiencing. But when he tells him what he tells him, Jonathan at first resists it. He pushes back on it as though it's not true. It's not true. If this were true, my dad would have told me. If this were true, my dad would have let me in on it. My dad hasn't told me that, so it can't be true. And David assured him that it was. And so this is going to test the bonds, if you will, of their friendship. And by the way, friendships will need to be tested from time to time. It's not a bad thing for friendships to be tested. Actually, what we're going to see here is that there's a stronger bond that's going to come from this testing. Now, I trust that most friendships that you have been through, most that I've been through, have been proven by some trial or tribulation to prove true friendships. Sometimes when trials or tribulations that come along, it may actually reveal the person that you have a relationship with is not your friend. You know, sometimes you find that out the hard way. Now, to study the friendship between David and Jonathan, which to us has been showcased as one of the strongest friendships that you'll find in the Bible. very strong friendship outside of the Lord Jesus Christ himself and how strong of a friend he was to his disciples, I would say that this particular friendship is one of the strongest that we will find. And so I want to go back to the beginning of this, and I want to look at how this friendship was first established. Now, we know that Jonathan is the king's son, and he was among those who witnessed David as he confronted Goliath or as he went to face Goliath. Go back, if you would, to the end of chapter number 17 with me, and I want to look at that just a little bit. And at the beginning of this, nobody was willing to step forward and to fight Goliath, but David. David volunteered. David stepped forward for that fight. Now, once David carefully selected a stone and he aims it with his sling at the head of Goliath and he falls to the ground, nobody moved until David grabbed a sword from the giant and cut off his head. And then he lifted his head up in the air to show that the giant was in fact dead. Until that time, everybody's still paralyzed with fear. Even though they saw him go down, maybe they're thinking to themselves, you know, he's just passed out. He's got a small concussion. I'm not going up there. But when his head was chopped off, that trophy victoriously lifted in the air, all of Israel could see that their champion truly was dead, that the champion of the Philistines was truly dead, and then Israel was ready to engage. Now, notice, if you will, verse number 51 here. Therefore, David ran, and he stood on the Philistine. He took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head with. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. And then, of course, from there, the men of Israel of Judah rose, and they shouted, and they pursued the Philistines. And they're gonna follow after them hard. Now they're excited, and then they're going to go, and they're going to chase the Philistines. They're going to spoil their tents. And David is going to take the head of the Philistine back to Jerusalem. We see that in verse number 54. Look at verse 55. And when Saul saw David go forth against the Philistine, he said unto Abner, the captain of the host, "Abner, whose son is this youth?" And Abner said, "As thy soul liveth, O king, I cannot tell." And the king said, "Inquire thou whose son this stripling is." And so they're going to go and try to find out who this lad was. Who is this young man? It was an amazing feat. And of course, they're all watching as David valiantly and courageously killed the champion of the Philistines. And David's going to gain respect. He's going to gain respect from the Philistines, and he's going to gain respect from the Israelites. No one would have guessed that such a young man as he, smaller, outmatched, out-experienced, the enemy having superior weaponry, could be victorious. Well, someone watching that day, now catch this, was Jonathan. Amongst that crowd of all of those different people was this brave young man named Jonathan. And Jonathan had shown his own bravery. In 1 Samuel, in chapter number 14, we see as he takes his armor bearer and the two of them go out against the Philistines. And even as Saul, his father, and the rest of Israel are kind of huddled beneath the pomegranate tree, we find that Jonathan went forward very courageous, very valiant himself. And yet, against Goliath, Jonathan didn't challenge him. And so you see, if you will, in some respects, that he potentially could have lacked the courage that was necessary to go against the giant as well. We can see that in this particular scenario, that Jonathan is going to watch. He's going to be a spectator like everybody else, and he's going to watch as David defeated Goliath. And as he is the spectator, David steps forward, and with excellence and with valiance, he conquered. And so we see that Jonathan's just kind of watching this and certainly admiring. And certainly it proved, if you will, something to Jonathan. And notice then the affection that is shown there. Look at verse number 1. "It came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him, notice this, as his own soul. Now, you and I know something. You don't love anybody more than you love yourself. And that's why that's the gauge that God tells you to use for loving somebody else. As you would that men do to you, do you also likewise unto them? Why? Because you don't love anybody more than you love yourself. And we see that in this passage of Scripture. He loved him as his own soul. That's a lot of love. Jonathan stripped himself of his robe that was upon him and gave it to David, and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. He gives him everything. He gives him all these worldly possessions, but they were things that no doubt that Jonathan counted as very dear to him, things that he perhaps had inquired along the way. We don't know where these keepsakes came from, but these were valuable things. These aren't just throwaways. These aren't just goodwill things. These are things that are his. They're things that are special to him. And David went out with whosoever Saul sent him and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war. And he was accepted in the sight, notices, of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. And so everybody loved David. But perhaps nobody loved him more than Jonathan did. He celebrated that day. He's promoted that day by the king. He sees as all of these people are impressed with him, but nobody more than Jonathan. Nobody more than Jonathan. And then we're going to see that the celebration takes an ugly turn. We realize that as the songs are sung about David, that Saul hears those songs differently. You know, it's true that some people don't hear the same thing when they hear the same thing. Right? Somebody can sit in church and they can hear something, and somebody else sits in church and they hear something different even though they heard the same thing. And you'll find that true. And a lot of it has to do with what's in a person's heart. You can sit in church and you can judge the preacher on a Sunday morning, and I'm pointing over here to him, amen. You can judge the preacher on Sunday morning, and if you've got something in your heart against the preacher, you may not hear the message the way you need to hear the message. Jonathan's all excited about this. Jonathan's looking at this and realizing what David has done for Israel, and he's celebrating it. He's not looking at David as any kind of competition or that somehow in some way that he's comparing himself against David. No, he's celebrating the fact that David stepped forward and did something that he didn't do. Well, Saul's not doing that. Even though David did something that Saul, the leader, should have done. Remember, he's head and shoulders above everybody else. David's considered a ruddy little boy. David's considered small in comparison to Saul. Head and shoulders above everybody else. But he wouldn't go out and fight the giant. But when the songs got sung, something's wrong in his heart. And he doesn't like it. And the next thing you know, he seeks to kill David. Notice verse 10. It came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house. And David played with his hand as at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. Notice, and Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. Where did he say that? He said it in his heart. You know, sometimes you say things in your heart you don't say out loud. And David avoided out of his presence twice. David avoided out of his presence twice. I want to say that through the eyes of Saul, promoting David took him from being a friend to being an enemy. As David was elevated in the eyes of the people above Saul, Saul took it very personal, and he made him an adversary. He was seen as an enemy to Saul's ego, and Saul's pride stirred within him this jealousy. And then what did he do? He tried to eliminate him. And finally, after trying to maybe endure it for a period of time, David had to flee for his life. This conflict would put David at a very odd place with everybody else in Israel. Not because that's where he wanted to be, and not because he did anything wrong. In fact, he did right. But he's going to be at odds with everybody. He's put at odds with everybody else in Israel because of what Saul says about him and what Saul does about him and all of that. And Saul's going to use all of the armor and all of the weaponry. He wouldn't use it to go out against Goliath. but he's going to use it to go out against the man who killed Goliath. What a thing. He'll use all of his strength and all of his might and all of the men at his command to go out against David, but he wouldn't do that against Goliath, the true enemy. Well, you talk about somebody's priorities being messed up. Now, this conflict's going to last for 7 years. Is that possible? Is it possible that there'd be some kind of a campaign of slander against a celebrated hero like David, even though he didn't do anything wrong, even though he didn't deserve it? That there would be suspicion and doubt against him that would be unjustified? Well, it's what happened. Turn to chapter number 25 with me, please. Let's just kind of see what's going on with other people. We get where Saul is at with this whole thing, but how's David going to be received at other places? And as you think about this, think what defense David can make with people maybe whose minds are already made up. He couldn't escape it. Many people are going to already have predetermined mindset about David's guilt or his wrong that's been suggested to them by Saul. What's he supposed to do against that? The king has said it's so. The king has used his weaponry and his army against him. It's not justified. But what's David to do about it? Where's David to try to find his help? Well, notice here, chapter number 25, we get just a sample of kind of how people felt or how people thought. We find here that David hears about Nabal. He's a rich man. He's a successful man, if you will. He's a man of some means, but he's also a churlish man, a man that's evil. And David sent out his young men, and verse number 5, and he says, go to Nabal and greet him, note, in my name. Well, that all works very well if you've got a name. And thus shall you say to him that liveth in prosperity, peace be both to thee, and peace to thine house, and peace be unto all that thou hast. And David's going to try to get something from him. Notice verse number 8. He says, give, I pray thee, whatsoever cometh to thy hand unto thy servant, to thy son David. David's being very respectful, being very kind. And so David sends these young men to Nabal, and they tell him everything that David said. Look at verse 10. And Nabal answered David's servants and said, notice this, who is David? Well, that championship ring he got from killing Saul didn't seem to last very long, did it? And who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away, every man from his master. Isn't it interesting that all of the good that he did for Israel, celebrated and giving him the keys to the city and promoting him and all that stuff, all of the good that he did seems to be washed away. By what? Gossip and slander. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my fish that I have killed for my shears and give it unto men whom I know not whence they be? Notice how it's worked on this man named Nabal. It's worked on him. This gossip has worked on him. This slander has worked on him. Didn't matter what David had done. It didn't matter who he helped. It didn't matter how many lives that he saved in Israel because of his killing of Goliath. None of that seemed to matter at this point in time. So the young men are going to turn, and they're going to go back to David, and they're going to let David know, you don't have a name there. You don't have a name there. Misunderstandings have certainly separated or divided many people, even from the good that they've done, even the good works that you've done. These negative words about David are going to spread. He's going to be on the run. And so somehow he's running from his duties, and he's running from his responsibilities. Word's going to travel far and wide that David, you can't trust him. He's not trustworthy. He's not a good one to invest in. And essentially, he's going to be banished from the kingdom. And Nabal is going to believe the worst, and on the other side of it, his wife is going to believe the best. And so you find a split household in that particular regard. Now, I gave you this part of the story about David's life to understand that this division that's been caused is hurting David wherever he goes. Wherever he goes. He's going to be scrutinized. He's going to be under the pressure of Saul's jealousy no matter where he goes. And that Saul made it so that anybody who aided David became instantly an enemy against Saul. They joined with David as an enemy. Isn't that just how the devil works? Isn't that just how he works? He found himself, if you will, in the crosshair of King Saul. And David had trouble finding any place that he could find peace and safety. He found it difficult to find any. Now listen, true friends, who could he trust? There's a bounty on his head. So what's he doing? He's running. There's suspicion about him. There's doubt about him. He had a hard time standing up to the challenge in all of his relationships. He couldn't go anywhere. He couldn't go back home. He couldn't go to his own family and friends. Others, there's this fear of reprisal that's against him. Who could risk being a friend of David? Whoever helped him was instantly classified as an enemy of Saul, and they're on his hit list. I want you to notice chapter 22 with me, please. Chapter 22 of 1 Samuel. Another incident, if you will. Another incident. Look at chapter 22. Just so we know, because when Jonathan comes to David, he acts like, well, it's just all in your head. It's just all in your head. It's not true. And David said, no, this is legit. I'm telling you, no. My dad would tell me if it was legit. It's not legit. He goes, no, I'm telling you. And so what we're seeing is David didn't make this up. This is how David's seen in the community with all of these people against him. Notice, if you will, and they didn't even, listen, somebody help me now, they didn't even have Facebook. Man, this word traveled fast, and they didn't even have Instagram. Somebody say amen. Come on now. They didn't have no social media to make, you know, on social media, you can make a bad word travel real fast. I know somebody years ago that they had a bad situation in their family, and somebody got on Instagram and they started, or on Facebook, and they started posting things, and then I guess they got it all cleared up. But the problem was it was already blasted all over, and the person who started the whole thing realized that they couldn't pull it back. You know, some things, once the toothpaste is out of the tube, you can't get it back in again. Notice verse number 7. Then Saul said unto his servants that stood about him, "Hear now, ye Benjaminite, will the son of Jesse give every one of you fields and vineyards and make you all captains of thousands and captains of hundreds?" See the pressure that Saul's putting on everybody? That all of you have conspired against me? Well, now you're talking about somebody's got a head case. It's him. "And there is none that showeth me that my son hath made a league with the son of Jesse, and there is none of you that is sorry for me." Nobody feels sorry for me. Well, it seems like you're doing a good enough job all by yourself. "Or showeth me that my son has stirred up my servant against me to lie in wait as it is this day." Then answer this pressure now. "Then answered Doeg the Edomite, which was set over the servants of Saul, and said, 'I saw the son of Jesse coming to Nob, to Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub, and he inquired of the Lord for him and gave him victuals," or victuals as the southerners would say it, "and gave him the sword of Goliath, the Philistine, and the king's going to send Ahimelech, and what's he going to do with him? He's going to kill him." I want you to notice the existential threat against David. David's life is tied to Israel in every way. And now all of a sudden we're seeing that the normal life become a very abnormal life. And Saul wanted David dead. He couldn't go home. He couldn't go home to his family. He couldn't go anywhere. And then we're going to find that he stirs up his own wife against him. Won't take time for all of it, but you look back at chapter number 19 here, chapter number 19, and I want you to notice the deception, if you will, that's going on even in David's own home. As Saul sought to smite David even to the wall, verse number 10, and Saul sent messengers unto David's house to watch for him and slay him in the morning. And Michal, David's wife, told him, saying, "If thou save not thy life tonight, tomorrow thou shalt be slain." She knew it. She understood it. And she, of course, is trying to help David escape there in verse number 12. And then she took an image and put it in his bed. And of course, they sent messengers. Notice verse 14. And when Saul sent messengers to take David, she said, he's sick. And Saul sent the messengers again to David, saying, bring him up to me in his bed that I may slay him. I don't care if he's on his deathbed. Well, you got some serious hate towards somebody whenever they got the flu and you still try to kill him. Somebody say amen. You just bring him on his sick bed. I don't care. We'll kill him. David's on the run. There's no place safe. Brings us to this question. What about friendships in a season like this? Who wants to be a friendship of this guy? Who wants to be in a friendship with him? Who could David trust? I mean, he's at a spot in his life. Let me say it this way. He needs a real good friend. But who's he going to turn to? Anybody that becomes his friend is going to immediately be put on a blacklist. Come on now. Going to get blacklisted and somebody could die. Ahimelech the priest died and Saul didn't even think anything about doing that. Michal probably is very fortunate. His own daughter probably is very fortunate. She didn't die. Later, he's going to throw a javelin at his own son. Who wants to be David's friend? Anybody? Anybody want to risk being his friend? You talk about cancel culture. He got canceled big time. Now, with that as an introduction, here's where we pick up the story, if you will, of a test of true friendship. Go back with me to chapter 20, please. This conflict is going to test a relationship here. David had a true reason, if you will, to be concerned. He had a real reason to be concerned. But David's looking for at least one true friend. And he's thinking that maybe it's Jonathan. I'll bare my heart to Jonathan. I'll express to Jonathan all that I'm going through, and Jonathan will help me. Jonathan's somebody that I can turn to with my problem. But it's intensified here because the challenge is that the man who wants him dead is Jonathan's own father. He's got a relationship with him. That's going to complicate the matter. It's going to complicate the loyalty. It's going to complicate the truth. Friends? A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24 says to us. And so there's a testing of friendship here. And I want you to see this. I won't read all of this, but I'd have you to go back and look at it. They're going to come up with a plan. They're going to come up with a plan to test this friendship. Look at verse number 4. Then said Jonathan unto David, whatsoever thy soul desireth, notice this, I will even do it for thee. And David said unto Jonathan, behold, tomorrow is a noonday, and I should not fail to sit with the king at meat, but let me go, that I may hide myself in a field until the third day at even. If thy father at all miss me, then say, David earnestly asked leave of me that he might run to Bethlehem, his city, for there is a yearly sacrifice there for all the family. If he say thus, it is well, thy servant shall have peace. But if he be very wroth, then be sure that evil is determined by him. Therefore thou shalt deal kindly with thy servant, for thou hast brought thy servant into a covenant of the Lord with thee, notwithstanding if there be in me iniquity, slay me thyself, for why shouldest thou bring me to thy father? And Jonathan said, far be it from thee, for if I knew certainty that evil was determined by my father to come upon thee, notice this, then would not I'd side with you. Then said David to Jonathan, who shall tell me, or what is thy father's what if thy father answer thee roughly? And so they're going to come up with this plan. They're coming up with this plan to kind of test this thing as David hides himself. David hides himself in a field. Notice, if you will, verse number 17. And Jonathan caused David to swear unto him because he loved him. For he loved him as he loved his own soul. And Jonathan said to David, tomorrow is the new moon, and thou shalt be missed because thy seat will be empty. And so they are determined with this friendship, if you will, is going to be able to stand against all of this. Notice, if you will, as they test it. Look at verse 24. So David hid himself in the field, and when the new moon was come, the king sat him down to eat meat, and the king sat upon his seat as he did at other times. And of course, he's looking around the room and David's not there. David's not there. And then Saul says, well, maybe he's not clean. Maybe something else is going on. Well, on the second day, his seat was empty also. And then, of course, Saul then said to Jonathan, his son, verse number 27, wherefore cometh not the son of Jesse to me, neither yesterday nor today? And Jonathan answered Saul, well, just like he said he would, David asked leave that he may go to Bethlehem. Notice that. And he said, I let him go. Told him he could go. Look at verse number 30. And Saul's anger was kindled against who? Jonathan. And he said unto him, thou son of the perverse, rebellious woman, do not I know that thou hast chosen the son of Jesse to thine own confusion and unto the confusion of thy mother's nakedness? For as long as the son of Jesse liveth upon the ground, thou shalt not be established, nor thy kingdom. Wherefore now send and fetch him unto me, for he shall surely die. Notice the answer from Jonathan to his father. Wherefore shall he be slain? Notice this now. What hath he done? Well, that's the same thing David asked. David said, what have I now done? You ever been there before? Well, you wanted to know what you did? Didn't make any sense to you. It wasn't reasonable. It was a very unreasonable thing that you were dealing with and the troubles and trials in your life that are going on and you don't understand it. Notice, and Saul cast a javelin at him to smite him, whereby Jonathan knew that it was determined of his father to slay David. You know what he realized? David's right. Friend, now listen to this. Listen, you have to decide about whether you're a friend or not. Listen to what it says. A friend loveth at all times. And a brother is born for adversity. I want you to notice that Proverbs 17:17 says, you don't separate friendship. In fact, what you find out is that a brother, a true friend, is going to be born for this adversity. Is it possible that somebody birthed someone in this world to be a true friend to you? Or for you to be a true friend to them? That it's not all willy-nilly and you got to find out what's going on. Well, I don't know. I'll get to the bottom of it and I'll ask this and I'll do that. That's not what we see here. The Bible says a friend loveth you in all seasons, at all times. Even when you're in troubles and even going, you're going through trials, as you're experiencing low times, that's when a friend shines. A friend loveth at all times. What if there's suspicion against you as there was against David? The Bible says a friend loveth at all times. Friendships don't change. They don't take a break during stormy season, not if it's a true friendship. Some claims they're a friend, but it's found to be not true whenever somebody's experiencing something. Well, I'm just going to wait until the smoke dies down, and I'm going to wait until the dust settles, and then I'll come back and I'll be your friend again. That's not what it says. If it's a bad time, the relationship is strained, maybe it's stranded and there's some ugly conditions in a person's life, it might actually be to prove that a friendship is not real like you thought it was. It might just be an acquaintance and not really a friendship. It happens. But this particular conflict between David and Saul does not have to affect Jonathan. Jonathan can still be a true friend, even though his own father is personally caught up in it. It didn't have to destroy it. It could actually make it stronger. And I believe that's exactly what we find here. Now, as you study what Jonathan did after what he heard from David about his own father. Here's what I want you to see. I want you to see, now catch this, please. He verified it. He verified it. To verify something is to prove, to be true, or to confirm. To confirm the truth of something, to show to be true, to confirm or establish the authenticity of anything by examination or competent evidence. Verification, the act or process of verifying something, the state of being verified. Verify that that which a friend does as a question arises. Now, I want you to notice something. Please do not miss this. Please don't miss this. Go back with me to chapter number 20. I want to show you this because to me this is very important with this whole story. I never saw it before. God showed me something with this that's helped me, okay? That's helped me. I want you to notice verse number 4. Then said Jonathan unto David. Now, he's been told this. At first, in verse number 2, we find that Jonathan says, it is what? Not so. It's not so. This isn't true. It's another way of saying, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. But I want you to notice as David comes back, David swear moreover and said, thy father certainly knoweth that I found grace in thine eyes. And he saith, let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. He said, there's a reason why your dad hasn't told you. You think your dad's going to tell you whatever, but there's a reason why he didn't tell you. Now listen, when Jonathan heard that, please don't miss this, verse number 4. Then said Jonathan unto David, whatsoever thy soul desireth, I will even do it for thee. Here's what I want you to see. He didn't question David. You know who he questioned? Himself. See, friendship is different. In friendship, when you're looking at something like this, you don't question your friend, you question you. Maybe I got it wrong. Maybe I got this wrong. Jonathan ultimately is questioning himself. He's not questioning David. Maybe I've got this wrong. Maybe David's right about this. And what David told him, he goes back to his father with this, armed with what David said to see if it's true. And by doing so, he's going to question himself and he's going to question his father with this, but not David. He believed David. He's going to go away from there. In fact, the reason that he went back and did what he did was because he believed David. If not, he wouldn't even have tested it. He just simply said, You don't know what you're talking about, David. No. I don't need to do that. I know my dad. My dad wouldn't do any of the things that you... No, you got it all wrong. He wouldn't have gone and done anything. He wouldn't have put himself out on the line that way. But the reason that he did was because he questioned himself. Maybe I'm wrong. And then he goes back and he questions his dad. Maybe it's true. You know what you may find out if you'll question yourself? You might be wrong. You've been wrong before. Come on now. We should know that we can be wrong. Somebody say amen. Come on now. Let the questioning start where? Right here. The worst enemy you've ever faced is you. Nobody's harmed you more than you have hurt you. Nobody. If you believe otherwise, you're believing wrong about yourself. When Nathan went to David and he said to him the story about the taking of the lamb and all of that stuff, and David said, the man that did this will surely die. And he looked at him and said, thou art the man. You know who David didn't question? Himself. You know who David's enemy was? Himself. David found out, or excuse me, Jonathan found out David was right and he was wrong. By the way, that's what most people do. They usually question or they scrutinize the other person because they believe themselves. And we might believe ourselves too much. He accepted the fact that he might have misunderstood things. He assumed, if you will, and concluded that David's lying, then he would never have done what he did. But what did he discover? David was right. He has to go back to David and he has to say, you know what, David, I was mistaken. I was wrong. You were right. He didn't want it to be true. Certainly, he didn't want it to be true that his father would be doing this. But guess what? At the same time, he's also happy to find out he's got a true friend in David. Come on now. He's grieved with his father. He's ashamed that his father has done such a thing. But he's found a true friend in David. It's unfortunate it had to be discovered that way. But what a wonderful thing to find out that there's a true friend. He had no doubt happy to discover that David was such a man. He didn't make it up. He didn't manufacture it. He didn't conjure it. He didn't fabricate it. He didn't try to just make something up against his father to divide Jonathan from his father. No, it's true. It was true. Saul wanted David dead. Now, Jonathan, as he tested this situation, he came, if you will, became a target of his dad's anger. And that wasn't good news for him either. A conflict led, though, to something very special here. You know what it led to? It led to a covenant. It led to a covenant. Look back with me, if you would. Chapter number 20. As we look at this thing, look at verse number 35. It came to pass in the morning that Jonathan, of course, is going to go out into the field, the place that they'd appointed, shoots an arrow to try to run and find it. That's something they'd made up to get drawn together again. Notice verse number 41. And as soon as the lad was gone, David rose out of a place toward the south and fell on his face to the ground and bowed himself three times. And they kissed one another and wept one with another until David exceeded. Jonathan said to David, "Go in peace, for as much as we have sworn both of us in the name of the Lord, saying, 'The Lord be between me and thee, and between my seed and thy seed forever.'" And he arose and he departed, and Jonathan went into the city. What a wonderful covenant that these two made. Guess what it's going to do? It's going to exceed the life of Jonathan. It's going to exceed this generation, and it's going to go to the next generation. You know what true friendships will do? True friendships will carry over, if you will, to the generation of your children. I've told my children before, I know guys that I have that are friends. My kids know that if anything happened to their daddy and they needed to call somebody that they could get wisdom from, that they could get truth from, somebody that's a friend of their dad's, they know who to call. They know who they can call. They know who that they can trust. This is where true friendship takes. It takes beyond you. It outlives you. Mephibosheth, his son, is going to be able to sit at David's table, and he's going to benefit off of the relationship that David and his father, Jonathan, had together. That when David does become king, his children, Jonathan's children, are going to benefit because his dad stood with David. Think about that as you're making friends with these people now who you make friends with. I like it. The little boy, Matthew, I think. Is that his name, the little boy Matthew? He's in the bathroom, and they're singing when I went over a minute ago, "Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord." And I'm thinking, yeah, come on now. Listen, there's something getting in that little boy. Don't miss it. There's something getting in that little boy. Caught my eye, little Levi, Levi's brother Steve and Linda's boy. And while we were singing, he kept cocking his eyes over at me, Pastor Carlos, to see what I was doing. And you know what he did? Now listen, help me now. He didn't find me over there going, listen, don't think kids don't pay attention. Don't think they're not watching. Little Levi's watching. You know it's time to shake hands. You know, I don't know what you got from Levi. I don't know what everybody else got. Did he shake your hand? Did Levi shake your hand? Yeah. Did he come by? If he got over that way, you got close to him. He did. But you know what he did when he saw me? He hugged me. You know what he'll do? He'll come after school. He'll come up to the door of my office. He knows where the door of my office is. He beats his dad to the door and he knocks on that door. And I'll look out and I'll see little Levi, that little head of red hair. And I open up the door to him. And you know what I don't do? What are you doing? What do you want? I always invite him in. He knows that the pastor has an open door for him. I won't do that for my own son now. I'll kick him out. But anyways, that's a different message altogether. Amen. I want him to know that he's not a bother. See, Mephibosheth is going to heard so much about David from his own dad. Good talk. His dad didn't go home and roast David. That bum. Well, you see the way your grandfather hates him, and I don't blame him. He's such a jerk. He's so arrogant. He beat Goliath, and well, I hate him. He didn't talk that way. And when his daddy was dead, you know what Mephibosheth did? They didn't have phones, but I'm going to do the phone thing. He called up and said, I need a little help over here. Well, actually, it was David that reached out to him, wasn't it? Is there anybody left of the house of Jonathan that I could do him some good? Yeah, there's this lame boy, Mephibosheth. He could use a little help. Is anybody catching any of this? I don't know. You may need to verify that what someone said, a verification that actually it might help you to understand who your true friend is and who's lying to you. You ever had somebody lie on you and they didn't verify something? It don't feel good. Jonathan's going to benefit because he was very wise. Now listen, to verify. It helped to prove the value of a friendship. A disagreement had surfaced. There was a difference of opinion. They spoke calmly about it. Both men agreed to a strategy to find a solution. David witnessed the aggressive, mean-spirited, abusive nature of Saul. He knew that Jonathan didn't know or didn't understand about it. So in telling Jonathan, he knew that they were going to have to test the theory with regards to it. Because that's what it looked like at first. And he questioned his conclusion, and he would then confront his own father in this misunderstanding. He finds out his dad wants to kill his friend. Why did they prove the issue, the concern between them? Listen, because friendships are valuable. They're not designed to be disposable. There's a lot of people that are treat them that way. When the storms come up, well, I'm just going to wait till this blows over. I'm going to wait till the dust settles, and then I'll make out that I'm your friend. That ain't a friend. Might be an acquaintance. But a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Friends aren't meant to be eliminated. The reason these true went to the trouble of taking the extra step was is because friendship's valuable. Friendship's valuable. And if Jonathan did nothing, if he assumed that David was wrong about it, if he just left it at that, it had just been an acquaintance. But what we go back to is exactly that first meeting, if you will, where there's there in chapter number 18, where we find out he loved him as his own soul. He loved him as his own soul. Now, from here, and I just want to say this to you, just make a couple more points and I'll close. What's going to happen now is that they're going to be distant friends. They're going to be distant friends. They're not going to be able to be close. In chapter number 23, verse number 16 through 18, we find that Jonathan's son arose. He went to David into the wood, and he strengthened his hand. And he said, "Fear not, for the hand of Saul, my father, shall not find thee. and thou shalt be king over Israel. And then he makes a statement, and I shall be next unto thee. Once dad's not on the throne anymore, he didn't make it like, hey, you know, one of these days, you know, I'm the one that's supposed to be king. Because that's what his dad acted like he was protected. Jonathan didn't think it that way. But what we see is, and the two made a covenant before the Lord. They made a covenant. And as far as we know, that may have been the last time that they saw each other in person. It may be the last time that they were in the presence of one another. And from then on, there's going to be this long-distance friendship that was there. Unfortunately, this disagreement's going to keep them from meeting each other, but it didn't keep them from being friends. It's gonna keep them apart, but it didn't destroy the potential of their friendship. It just separated true friends, and that's a different. These six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. God hates that stuff. God hates that stuff. Notice with me, please, 2 Samuel in chapter number 1. 2 Samuel chapter number 1. I want you to notice with regards to his death that David took it very, very hard. Verse number 4, David said unto him, how went the matter? Somebody told him that he died. Pray thee, tell me. And of course, they're going to answer and say that the people are fled from the battle and many of the people are fallen and dead. And Saul and Jonathan, his son, are dead also. And of course, he asked the young man how he knew that, and it's going to be verified that he was dead. And notice verse number 12, and they mourned and wept and fasted until even for Saul and for Jonathan, his son, for the people of the Lord and for the house of Israel, because they were fallen by the sword. There's this affection that's still there, not just for Jonathan, but for Saul also. Look at verse 17, and David lamented with this lamentation over Saul and over Jonathan, his son. David mourned greatly. Unfortunately, there was no funeral for his friend, but he's lamenting over him. And I want you to notice it didn't stop him from being a friend to Saul as well as to being a friend to Jonathan, and it's going to prove David is a very gracious leader in the days to come. But one last thought that I want to share with you in regards to this is something that I thought about, something that I considered here, is when Jonathan said to him, thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next unto thee. And then we find, if you will, 1 Samuel chapter 31 and verse number 2, the Philistines followed hard upon Saul and upon his sons, and the Philistines slew Jonathan and the other sons. What happened? Jonathan ended up dying with his father. Even after he makes this statement to David saying, I'm going to be the second man with you. Perhaps Jonathan thought to himself that when my father dies, I'm going to serve in the kingdom with David. Well, guess what? He never got the chance. Now, here's what it makes me wonder. If Jonathan should have left his father and stayed with David. And if he would have, he would have likely been the second man in David's kingdom. It just makes me wonder. Should he have stayed with his friend? Having Jonathan serving with him, certainly they both would have been blessed. And once again, it's just a thought we can ponder. We can't know. But I just wonder. I just wonder if he should have chosen differently. He should have chosen differently. Ask yourself this afternoon if you're a true friend. And I'm not even just talking about maybe somebody that's in the room or somebody that you know, but ask yourself if you're a true friend with Christ. Ask yourself if you're a true friend of Christ. What can separate you? We already know he's a true friend to you. Romans chapter number 8 says, nothing shall separate us from the love of God. We know that he loves us in such a strong way, such a powerful way. God loves us so much that your sin won't separate you from God. It might separate you from the fellowship of God. But God will go right on, take you right into heaven when time comes if you're saved. But it can have an impact on your relationship with God. Why? Because you've chosen not to separate yourself from things that would separate you from God. Stand with me if you would. I don't know how you normally do your invitations. We'll take just a moment here and maybe take some time to pray. Someone's listening today and they don't know Christ as their Savior. I'd want them to know the love of God. The love of God caused Jesus to go to a cross of judgment, died upon a cross of judgment, paid the ultimate sacrifice for our sin, took our sin debt all the way to Calvary. He became sin for us who knew no sin, so that you and I could be saved. And if we'll put our faith and trust in His sacrifice and what He did, and the fact that He got up from the dead, He didn't stay dead. The Bible says if you and I would accept that, repent, and turn to Him, that we can be saved. Thou shalt call upon the name of the Lord, thou shalt be saved. I hope if you're listening today that you take those words very seriously. If you have questions about that, I'm sure that Pastor Carlos would be more than happy to answer questions if you email in and need a conversation that way. For you and I as believers, are we a true friend of God? We know He's a true friend of us. He laid down His life for us. How's our friendship with Him? And then also consider the friendships that you have in your life. Make sure that you've got true friends that are around you and that you're a true friend to them. Father, thank You for the time that You've given to us today. I pray that You'll use this message however You choose to use it, that You would be the preacher into our heart and tell us those things that we need to hear. We thank You for being a great God. We thank You for loving us so much. Minister to our hearts with these thoughts, and may it bring us into that closer relationship that we need with You. We thank You. We love You. Help us now, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Oh, you going to sing a song, Brother Carlos, or do you close in a song, or how do you do? Is You Got I Surrender All? Do you know which one that is? Let's sing that together. Can we do that? Somebody find it for me real fast in our songbook. You guys come play if you can. Yeah, that'd be good. Somebody find the song for me. Anybody find it? 736. Thank you. Come help me sing. 736. Sabrina, come help me sing. 736. And Christina, you and Joel, help us play. Let's sing this together. Can we do that? Let's sing this together. Come on in here on this side of me, Sabrina, where this other microphone is at here. And we'll do that. And let's sing this. You find it out there if you would. 736. Let's be surrendered to God today. Can we do that? Let's be surrendered to God today. Help me as we sing that song together, and we'll have them jump in. Ready, Sabrina? Here we go. Oh, to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all to Jesus, my blessed Savior. I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender humbly at His feet. I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. Sing Hardy on the fifth. Ready? All to Jesus I surrender
Now I feel the sacred flame. Oh, the joy of full salvation. Glory, glory to His name.
Sing it.
I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender.
One more time on the chorus. Ready?
I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
Ready, nice and soft. Ready, nice and soft.
I surrender all.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor.
Wow, powerful message. You guys can be seated. We're just going to close in prayer. Again, I just want to thank you, Pastor, for that message. I want to thank all of you who were able to travel down from Corona. I just want to leave you with two verses that were on my heart during that time. John 13, I'll just quickly read this to you. Verse number one, I'm so glad about the love of Jesus. The Bible says concerning his disciples, he loved them unto the end. He called them friends. And I believe that if we put on the mind of Christ with any Christian on this earth, we truly can love one another unto the end. Acts 19:31, I'll just quickly read this. The Bible says, certain of the chief of Asia, which were his friends, sent unto him, desire him that he would not adventure himself into the theater. You know, Paul had people that cared about him, and they wanted to protect him from evil coming upon him. You need to surround yourself with Christians that care about you, and they want to preserve your life. And then my last one, I'll just share with you, and we'll close in prayer. Acts 27, verse number 3, again, speaking on the topic of friendship. The Bible says here in Acts 27, 3, Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself. Now, some things I believe that God has so graciously permitted the brethren to fulfill, he does. Holy Spirit does his job, the Holy Bible does its job, and then the brethren, they do their job. And so today, I'm just thankful for a friend, Brother Scott, great, great friend. And I'm thankful that we met through the most unique circumstances. He knows, the Lord knows. And I'm just thankful for that spirit that I want to surround our church with, for all our members here, that they'll continue to see that example in us, that it's possible to love people through thick and thin. And we don't need to give up on each other. And no matter if you've been given up on before, and even if they are a Christian, and I don't care if they have a King James Bible or not, I'm just telling you, we come short of the glory when we're unable to love as He loves to the end. So today, friend, if the Lord spoke to you, if there's anything you need to make with you and the Lord for any prayer, any prayer of repentance or any prayer of commitment to say, Lord, would you help me to have a heart like Christ to love unto the end, to love my friends, to love my spouse, to love my pastor, to love my church, and not to give up, like the Bible says, at all times. Would you pray with me now as we come to a close? All I know is that that message spoke to me. Amen. Thank you for that. Abba, Father, I want to thank you so much for a friend that you sent to our church, just like the coming of Titus to Paul, Lord, to comfort. It sure was a comfort to have Brother Scott, Lord, a great, great pastor to look up to, God, to receive wisdom from, Father. I'm thankful because he's spending time with your son. He's spending time with the love of God. And today, Lord, I know that our church needs that. We need to surround ourselves with men who spend time with you, the love of God. And I'm thankful that your Bible says that God is love. And I'm thankful for men that spend time with you, the God of love, to bring that to us, to encourage us, and to fill our spirit with that refreshment that we need. So, Father, for our home church, I hope that they had a heart to receive that word of true friendship, and what it looks like and what it doesn't look like, and going through all the obstacles and resisting the temptation to quit or to give up, even when it's family that says, negative things about a fellow brother or sister. Lord, I pray that we were able to receive today what your Spirit desired to operate within us and to do within us, to renew our minds and to bring us back to the love of Christ, that it loves at all times. So, Father, I thank you for this friendship. And I just thank you, Lord, that our church, Simple Faith Baptist, we are a friend to Grace Baptist. And God, as the Bible says, all times, whatever may come, however it may come, I pray, Lord, that they know they have friends here in Oceanside that are ready to comfort them, ready to love them. And yes, God, if they come down and commit, we'll give them barbecue and tacos here and there. So, Lord, until next time, Lord, until our next gathering, God, would you please bless the saints in their travel as they go back up home. For those who have traveled from Riverside and other areas, Lord, would you please be with them as well? And I thank you for our home church, God, that continues to come to be a friend to me, to be a friend to my wife, Lord. It sure is good to know that they're still here, Lord, through everything that we've gone through. So, Lord, thank you for the members here, and thank you for the members at Grace who are still sticking with their pastor through things that they've gone through as well. Lord, we need that. And for me, Lord, that's powerful. God, your money cannot buy friendship. It cannot earn charity. It's something, God, that you dispense into our heart, Lord. And so I thank you. So, Lord, help us now and help us to enjoy this friendship, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, we love you. Please avail yourself for fellowship. I know you guys got to get going soon, but as much as y'all can hang out, please do. Again, there's some refreshments, and we're here for you. Amen. The Lord bless.
Frozen chicken in the back. Praise the Lord. Roll that.